What if the grandson of your enemy was the very person God called you to bless? Discover how David's kindness to Mephibosheth can reshape how you engage a hostile culture with uncompromising truth and courageous love. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. I wanted to start out by saying a great big thank you for all of your generosity this year to help keep FPIW and FPIW Action moving forward. Just a friendly reminder, FPIW is tax deductible and FPIW Action is not tax deductible. And so your generous support of $5, $10 a month, whatever it is very, very helpful. And in FPIW, we try to educate people and show them a biblical worldview. And FPIW Action, we apply that education in the legislative branch, school boards, all those kind of things around our state. So thank you for your generosity and your support. And if you're not yet a sponsor of FPIW or donor of FPIW, want to encourage you to do that today. Go to FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org and sign up. Maybe you'll split it, $5 for the 501c3 and $5 for the 501c4. Also want to say, if you're enjoying this Hope series, to subscribe, like, share, comment, or place in that Washington Defender huddle. It really does help us get the word out on what we're doing. I believe that 2026 is going to be one of the most exciting years to live and to be around as the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, draws near. So let's dive into God's Word today and see what it has to say. Our root verse for this last couple of weeks has been, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." That is what we are doing at FPIW and FPIW Action. We want to bring hope into the scenario. We want to stimulate each other on to love and good deeds, and not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we are getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, and we know that we need to be faithful regardless of what we see, faithful to be walk in righteousness, to protect the vulnerable, to do all those kind of things. And so we want to be faithful to God's word and dive into that. And we're seeing a lot of corruption coming to the surface, and we're seeing a lot of the lies are being exposed. And yet what we don't want to do is confuse our desire for righteousness and holiness and for things to be made right in God's economy with God's salvation, God's gospel. We want to love our enemy and lead them to Jesus Christ. So we're going to read an interesting story out of 2 Samuel, and King David is now on the throne, and this story is to bring us a little bit of hope, hopefully today, as we dive in. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. It says, "Then David said, 'Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?'" So if you remember, Saul was the first king of Israel and didn't obey God. In fact, he did things that God didn't want him to do. And so eventually God said, "Enough, I'm taking this mantle away from you, and I'm going to have King David be in charge." And so, but during that time, Saul had a son named Jonathan who was incredibly faithful to David and to a certain degree to his father. But we see that this relationship between David and Jonathan became very tight. You could say, to one extent or another, that David became a friend of his enemy's child, right? And I think this is really, there are some parallels that we can learn here, because, you know, we don't want to see individuals as a person as our enemy. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood or principalities, but the things of this air. So like the issues in Washington state really are spiritual issues that are played out through unregenerated hearts, untransformed hearts in the Democrat, Republican, or independent side of things. And so that's where all that corruption is coming from. But we see how David is looking to show kindness to one, on Jonathan's behalf. It says, now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. So I love this. Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul. So remember, this is his enemy's servant to one degree or another. Now, I will say that David was always respectful of Saul. You know, when he had a chance to kill Saul, he didn't do it. He never wanted to touch God's anointed. He really wanted to keep his hands off and allow God to be the judge of Saul. So then the king said, David said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. I love this. This is not an overly preached sermon. It's not an overly understood sermon, but Ziba brings up one of Jonathan's sons, and he's a disabled, crippled person. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amoli and Lodabar. And so here he's telling him where they are. And all these locations, like Lodabar and being the son of Amiel, we see that these were non-significant people. I mean, they wouldn't jump off the charts for you. They were, you know, the lowly of the lowly. Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir and the house of Amiel from Lodabar. And it says this, now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. And David said to him, do not fear, for I am surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. So here we have this crippled person coming before David, and we see that he bows down and he says, I want to show kindness. I don't want you to be afraid. And so I love this. Now, I know I've maybe butchered those names. I tried to put the phonics in there so I could get it right. But we look at this, and this is just such a powerful truth of how we interact with people who may, for whatever reason, be seen as against you, against me, whoever it might be. David had a heart to show kindness and to show relationship and to build. And I, for some reason, we've come to this conclusion that if we don't show great hostility towards those who are in opposition to our worldview, then somehow we're endorsing them. Well, I can tell you that Saul and David did not get along. And I would say more likely that was more on Saul's side of things. And yet David found a way, or is finding a way in this story, to show compassion and love to one of Saul's grandkids. Isn't that powerful? Again, he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me? See, we know that there wasn't anything on the outward appearance that would make it so that David should do anything, except that Jonathan and him had a good relationship. Then King David called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king commands his servants, so that your servant will do, so Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. A very interesting story, isn't it? And it really does challenge us. How are we going to interact this year in hope, in kindness, in seeing others this year? Even those we may deem an enemy. Again, I just don't believe that people are our enemy. I believe that ideas are our enemy. I believe that actions are our enemy. And there are people in this world who simply have the wrong biblical worldview. But the Bible talks about how we're supposed to interact with them. You know, we can't expect the world to have a biblical perspective on items when they're not even transformed or regenerated in their soul inside of them. We need to expect that our job is to stand for truth and righteousness and holiness, and to see that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then that, in turn, shapes or reshapes their worldview, that then reshapes or shapes their policies. So here's a thought for today. Hold fast to hope in a hostile culture. Remember, David had experienced a huge hostile culture when he was being persecuted by Saul. And yet he held on to hope. And that unwavering hope that we need to have, our hope is not in the other person or the other side of things or the wrong worldview. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we need to assemble and encourage and not isolate. Too many of us as Christians are isolating, and we need to really step out, go back to the Bible, fellowship around the Bible, fellowship around communion, share the gospel message with each other. Seek out your Mephibosheth in Washington. So who's that maybe crippled, lame in their feet, you know, grandson of our enemy, you might say? How can we seek them out and figure out how do we bless them? Now, Jonathan and David, they had a great relationship. So part of this is that. But we understand that through relationship that we make transformation in our state. And so we don't sugarcoat the truth. We still speak the truth, but we do it in a way that draws people closer and closer together. Make your table at your home, a place of restoration. You know, we got to step out of our echo chambers and really begin to have conversations with each other. We may, at the end of the day, say, man, we just do not agree, but we need to somehow find ways to pull each other together. Live in that covenant faithfulness in your public life. So, you know, be faithful. Be faithful to God Almighty, to His Word this year. Allow that to sweep over you. Keep your promises this year. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. And if you end up not being able to do that, then, you know, ask for forgiveness and be a person of your word. Speak truth without slander. I think this is a big one. How do we speak the truth to each other without making it a slanderous remark? So I think the difference is like if I step out and say, call you a name or assign motive to what you're doing, until you validate that motive or show that motive, I'm not sure it's beneficial. I will say that when you look at the gospel message, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. That's the gospel, is that we were enemies to the cross and Christ died for us. And so in loving our neighbor, there's certain things that are taking place in Washington state right now that just does not seem like a love for neighbor. Whether that is overtaxing or whether that is making it expensive for families to take care of each other or whatever that might be, it seems like the government isn't doing it the right way. Now, there could be a grand scheme of this, you know, like you might say, the spirit of Antichrist that is driving all this, and people are willfully and with celebration engaging in these actions. But I would say that more often than not, it's that the heart hasn't been changed. It needs the gospel message to be applied. So speak truth without slander, or speak truth without assigning motive to it. Advocate for laws that protect the vulnerable. I think we can learn that from, how do you say it, Mephibosheth, that we need to find laws that protect vulnerable people. Now, this is not our special groups that are going to somehow get money back to us, or, you know, all those kind of things, but truly vulnerable people, the widows, the orphans, those around us. Maintain prayerful presence at school boards, city councils, legislators, county councils, all that. Be prayerful over those. Treating neighbors, include opponents as image bearers of whom Christ died. This will encourage you not to grow weary as the day draws near. Remember, God wove each and every one of us together in our mother's womb. So we need to treat them as an image bearer of God. And as the day draws near, we need to call people to repentance. We need to stand in righteousness. We need to demonstrate compassion and love and truth and show the world what it really means to be a Christ follower. I believe that you can do that today. As you're going into that public square, you can show them what it means to follow after Jesus Christ. And we can learn from Mephibosheth, and we can learn from David, and we can learn how he treated basically the grandson of his enemy. And yet, like, I'm not skimming over the fact that Jonathan and David had a great relationship, because that is true. But I think you get the point. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We pray that you would go before us in all things, that you would surround us in all things. Place hope at the center of our life today, God. Place your joy of being saved at the center. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast around us. God, let us speak truth. Let us do it in a way that is clear in the public square without slander, God. Let us speak truth that is curious and wants to learn the motives behind what is happening, God. And Lord, we know that a lot of these policies that are coming out are based upon either what people can get, maybe what a party can get from their voting constituency, or a fear of man. And so, Lord, we pray that that would be torn down in the name of Jesus, and that we would make principle-based decisions, what is best for loving our neighbor and brings justice for all, God. God, we thank you for this year. We thank you for what you want to do. Go before us in all things, God. And we just give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.